In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
What do you think that's going to sound like?
I don't know, because we didn't have the headphones in. It might echo. Or it might do nothing. It might sound fine. No, you're right, because there's stuff going on. I don't know how that sounds. Anyway, hello! Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat. Yes, filling your earballs with a heaping helping of whatever the hell we feel like for about an hour. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode, I have 17. No idea. I'm so glad you can count. I lose track. This is episode 17, people.
I don't even know why I remember that, but I do.
Welcome to episode 17. Here we are. I have a question for you, William.
Oh.
I thought about this earlier, and I absolutely know I'm going to regret asking you this, but I'm just curious.
Okay.
We are listed in the podoverse, as it were, the podcastosphere, as comedy. We're the universe in your control here. What would we be actually listed as?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't even know what the options are.
Well, I don't know. Make up one.
Oh.
What do you think we should be?
I don't know. How am I supposed to know that? I mean, comedy. Comedy seems a little narrow, you know. Sometimes we are pretty serious about what we're talking about. But I'm sure that's true of a lot of comedy podcasts, that sometimes they get a little serious. Isn't that true?
I don't know. I try not to listen to them. The Nerdist doesn't get... Well, I mean, it does, but it's very much on accident.
But do they categorize themselves as a comedy?
Or? Yes, because they're literally three stand-up comedians recording things. See. And, I mean, they do interviews, which we don't do, but... We could start doing PSAs for Swamp Ass. Did you see that I posted?
Yes, I did see that.
You guys should go and look. I think it's on break.com. I'll try and link it in the show. Nathan Fillion did a PSA for Swamp Ass. It's pretty awesome. So you should check that out.
I have no idea what category we would fall into. I mean, we have a sort of silly premise, and there's almost always some kind of joke or joking around about whatever we pull out of the hat. But sometimes, yes, I'll try to answer a question seriously and
Stab you.
But then you'll make fun of me. So, I mean, I don't know. It's... If it's not comedy, and maybe it's not specifically, you know, maybe it's something else, but I don't know what that something else is.
I almost wanted to put us into, I think it's a category called, like, life and culture.
Life and culture?
I think it was something like that.
like a cooking
or
program?
Or like cultural and society or something. I don't know what it was, but I just thought, yeah, see, we're here telling you people about life. Enriching your life, making you discover the joys of enchanted headwear and the random email questions that it produces.
Right. Well, see, that's another thing is we're pretty much going off what people send us. So, you know, if it's funny, it's funny, and if it's not, it's not, or whatever. I mean,
So it's your fault, people, is what he's saying. Fault.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's not all determined by us.
No. That's part of our purpose here.
Although I suppose that the way we should approach this is that everything that the hat gives us, we should be making fun of or making a joke of or not really giving serious answers to. But I don't know how to do that.
The hell you say? What would that be like?
It might be really funny.
No. But, too dangerous.
But we already established, I think, in episode number one, I'm not funny. So.
No, but you're interesting, supposedly. let me ask you, William.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you.
Are you sorry you asked me the other question?
Told you I was. Okay. I was sort of preemptively sorry.
Okay.
Yes. Because I knew that would happen.
Knew what? That I wouldn't have an answer?
No, the 5 minutes
oh.
that went by. I knew that would happen.
Okay.
But I was still just morbidly curious enough. Okay, let me ask you. What the crap did you do this week? See, I didn't ask how your week was, because I knew it was going to happen there. And honestly, I don't care how your week was. I want to know, what the crap did you do this week?
I tried to adjust to the fact that our air conditioner was broken.
And you're just not going to ever fix it? Or
Well, we fixed it today. So.
Oh, see, because the wife was talking on Facebook, like, you guys just were going to be air conditionless now in some sort of political protest or something.
Well, I think there was talk of that, but eventually it just got fixed.
Good. Good plan.
Well, it wasn't that bad. I grew up in a house without air conditioning, so I don't remember it being that awful.
I grew up in a house without air conditioning also, but it was on the West Coast.
Yeah, well.
It got hot in the day, but it always was cool at night, and so you would open the windows in the evening and all night long. And then in the morning when it got as warm outside as it was, like when the two matched up, you closed everything and you closed all the curtains and you tried to go through doors very quickly. And generally that was enough to keep the house cool all day till the evening, or cool enough.
Well,
I don't hear that crap don't work.
I grew up here in Iowa and it was basically the same temperature and humidity inside the house as it was outside the house.
That's awful.
No, it was okay. I mean, when you're used to it, it's not that big a deal.
I think this is why you are messed up like you are today. You are the product of your own environment, which was hot and humid.
Well,
you probably had swamp ass.
But also cold. I mean, I think I've told you this before.
Oh, so when it was like negative 30 outside, it was negative 30 in your house also?
Not on the bottom floor, but in our bedroom, yeah. It was cold enough that if you had, you couldn't like set down a glass of water in my bedroom or it would freeze.
So the aliens would have won in your bedroom.
What are you talking
Signs.
About? Signs. Oh, yeah, because the water would all have been frozen.
In the swing away. Nobody gives a damn. The aliens are like, yeah, dude, swing away. We don't fucking care.
So, yeah, we didn't have any heat at all in the wintertime in our bedrooms. And no
air conditioning. Were bad?
No, it's just we didn't have central heat. The heat had to go through these grates in the floor upstairs to heat the upstairs, but that was hardly ever good enough.
Did you grow up just outside of Walnut Grove?
It was an old drafty farmhouse. And
did your older sister go blind from a fire?
No. You know, if you have enough blankets, it's not that bad. I mean, it's freezing, but it's not that bad. And you get, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you go downstairs pretty fast because it's a lot warmer down there. And you only go upstairs when you absolutely are ready to go to bed. But
it was such a hick.
And it was a tiny room, too. Where, you know, I shared a bed with one of my brothers until I was 17 years old. And then there were, you know, two other beds in the room. So all four of us boys were in there. And the room was smaller than this room. I mean, a lot smaller.
You're such a hick.
I'm telling you.
Ugh.
You didn't know this? I thought I told you all these things before.
I try not to listen to you.
We didn't really have livestock or anything on our farm, so I didn't have a very typical farming experience, because a lot of kids we knew, they had livestock, or they drove the tractor when they're
so you had, like, all the horrible parts of farming without any of the interesting parts.
Kind of.
Awesome.
I mean, I helped my dad farm a little bit here and there, but dad worked in a factory, really, and so he didn't farm very much, so, you know, yeah, we didn't get to do the raising livestock so much or the, you know, driving tractors in the fields or anything like that.
Did you ever detassel in the summers?
My siblings did, but I didn't.
Oh, nastiest job ever.
I never did it
because I would explain detasseling to our listeners who wouldn't necessarily know what that's about.
Well, corn, the way corn fertilizes itself, I mean, for making corn, is there's at the top of a mature stalk of corn, there's a tassel. I mean, that's what they call it. But It's where the pollen is. And it drops the pollen onto the corn silks. And that's how the ear of corn gets pollinated. And that's, you know, where the corn comes from, basically. But for a while, the way the corn hybrids worked, you didn't want the pollination process to go all the way through or whatever. So you wanted to take the tassels off the top of the corn. So you would basically go through corn rows and you just snap the tassels off.
No, more accurately, you would hire broke teenagers to follow behind your tractor, often in the mud because it's just off of the rain sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And stagger through in the heat and the corn with the razor sharp leaves all day long, snapping the tassels off and dying for $3 an hour.
Yeah, that's generous. $3 an hour.
Okay.
Really?
In later years. This went on through the 90s.
I'm not sure anybody does it anymore because...
When I was in college, it was still happening.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, because the hybrids and all the stuff they do now is different. But I think a lot worse experience was walking beans, which that entailed, you know, going through a bean field and getting rid of any weeds that are there. And that, to me, was even worse.
See, yeah, I never heard about that. I always just heard about the detassing.
Yeah, corn, like you said, the leaves can kind of cut and stuff while you're walking through them. That's true. But I don't know, a bean field, and you just walk 2 inches and there's a new weed you have to cut down or pull, and then and there's garden spiders in between the rows, and that's probably true about the corn too. But see, nobody does anything like that anymore because, you know, Monsanto and all these chemical
companies round up the crap.
Yeah, have come out with all this stuff where if you spray it right, you don't have to worry about that. And even if it doesn't work out, I've seen a lot of fields with a lot of weeds in it. You can't find teenagers to do that work anymore. So, I don't think they do detasseling, but maybe they do. I've been kind of out of the loop.
The last time I heard would have been 96, 97, but when I was working a summer at Casey's, kids would come in and come next door also at the dairy bar after they were done detasseling.
A hot, awful work. I mean, really labor intensive, and you didn't make a lot of money, but it was sometimes the only game there was in town. I think I'm the only one of us kids that didn't do it.
It was a standard, as near as I can tell, it was a standard Midwest teenage job and also its own special circle of hell.
Well, like I said, I think I'm the only one in the family who didn't do it. And I don't even know. I don't know how I avoided it, actually. But they didn't complain about it too much. It was hot, but actually they had a lot of fun with other kids. You know, you got to know different people, and it was kind of a social event in a way, but it was really hot.
This is why you're so messed up, because your house was too humid and hot, and then you froze to death while you slept, and you never got the social outlet of detasseling.
One thing I did do was I worked at Adventureland Park, which is a really...
Was that movie about you?
No. It's too bad because my brothers, all of us worked there at one time or another, and they kept telling me that we need to make a movie about their experiences there because they had some pretty hilarious experiences working there. And then this movie came out. And not only was it called Adventureland, which was bad enough, but it was also set, like, what, in the 80s or something?
During the same
period of time, even.
I think... A friend you don't know of like your brothers, stole all this stuff.
But
you know that the TV show Dark Angel was based off of a cyberpunk RPG that I played in. I'm not even kidding. Like, no, there's a tie-in. Seriously, because like one of the players actually went to L.A. to become a screenwriter and ended up like working for or hanging out with James Cameron for a while and stuff. And there's some weird coincidences in it. So.
Well, when I worked at Adventureland, we made $2.50 an hour, which in 1985 was still not very much money. And you were supposed to the deal was you were only working part-time, but you never worked part-time.
Yeah.
I mean, I easily put in 60 hours a week. And then that summer, our school started 2 weeks after the Des Moines school started, so we picked up everybody else's shifts for 2 weeks.
So then you were working 130 hours a week.
Awful. It was terrible. But, you know, we had friends there and
whip churros at old people.
So yeah, it was kind of an interesting experience. But my brothers worked there a little bit longer, and they had a little bit cooler job than I did, because I worked in like the food court area,
yes,
making food and stuff. And they did that too for a little while. But the coolest job in the park was working in the warehouse, because then you got to drive to all the places that needed food or to resupply the games where they needed more stuffed animals or something.
Oh, and you got to drive the funky little carts and stuff.
You got to drive all over the place and get free food or talk to people, and it was just the coolest job there was. And also, you got paid more. So
yes, and I got set up like that because when I would work at the state fair when I was growing up, the Oregon State Fair.
Oh yeah.
On the cleanup crew, that was the easiest thing to get hired for. Because most of the supervisors were actual teachers at my schools and stuff. So you got hooked up pretty easily there. So I did that for like a year. And it's rough work for me. A lot of walking around and sweeping and, you know, cleaning up stuff. And a lot of just walking around in the heat. You know, it's August and it's hot and you're walking around with your stupid cap on and everything. But then, somewhere around second year, I did this for like 4 years, I think. And somewhere around like second or third year, I got on the garbage scow. Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Because I was not old enough to drive, which would have really been cool.
Yeah.
I was the guy in the back. But literally, the garbage scow went to eat all the places and picked up the garbage, like changed the bins. But they had built it out of like plywood. It was a trailer and they built walls on it or whatever. And they had taken a seat out of a car and bolted it into the back of this complete with seatbelt. And I would get on there, and they'd drive me around, not real fast, because it was like a lawnmower they were using without the blades or something.
Mm.
And so I just would hang out back there, sitting down, relaxing, and then I'd have to get out and change the trash can, and then jump back on, thump on the side, and you get badass, you're hanging off the back and stuff. You know, you'd leap up onto it and all this. And then when it was full, you drove around to the boneyard. And you toss them on. You'd swing them and fling them and see how far you could go. See if you could break it on the edge, watch it explode. Go mess around with the recycling, because there was the Snapple recycling one. And you could take those things, because there was all broken glass in there. And so you take a Snapple bottle and you fling it, and it would hit all the shards and stuff, and it would just explode. Like, not because it hit the wall. It would just spontaneously explode. It was awesome. It was a sweet deal. And you'd take however long you wanted back at the boneyard. And it worked out well, because for a couple of those years, the person driving the tractor were cute girls my age, one of which I sort of dated a little bit. So that worked out well, too.
It's funny what the best job in a certain place is.
Because that's the thing. I went home every night just smelling like refuse. I mean, that was disgusting. But you got used to the smell really fast, and then you were fine. And everybody was jealous. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
But then when I work in the factory, the summer after my first year of college, I work in the factory. And processing broccoli, and we take the broccoli and we put on thing and stand in line for hours. It was horrible. It was graveyard shift. And then I got a new job that made people jealous, because the job was, there's three chopping machines at the end, and the broccoli comes down the chute and it chops them up. You stand there once an hour or so, a machine would get clogged while it's still running, and they didn't want to turn it off. So you would take your handy broomstick and jam it down there and unclog it. And that was it. For 8 hours. And everybody's like, oh, so Justin, I was like, don't be jealous of me.
No,
you couldn't have a chair.
Yeah,
I wasn't supposed to be leaning on the railing. You couldn't have headphones. You couldn't read a book.
Yeah, it sounds kind of boring.
It was incredibly boring. So it was not a good one. But anyway, didn't kill a lot of time. How was my week, you ask?
I didn't, but
my week was extremely eventful.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, still having issues with the car. Don't want to go into that. We have some problems with the car. The car has some issues of which we were unaware. We're still dealing with that, but that kind of sucks. But went to the movies last night. Saw Green Lantern.
Okay. You're giving me a look like, how dare you not tell me how awful it was.
I think I enjoyed it more than Thor.
Oh, okay.
That does not say that I think it is better than Thor.
Okay.
And really, it's a fucking mess.
Yeah, it was a mess.
It was the story was a disaster. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't follow any sort of story convention in terms of arc of dramatic stuff. It's like exciting, not exciting, exciting, not exciting. The I guess primary villain in it is useless. I don't even know why the Peter Sarsgaard role, like, they didn't even need to have that.
No, not really.
It didn't make any sense. The thing I will give it above Thor is that it did, because it was such a mismatch and the pacing was torture. and the exposition was torture too, because sometimes they told us way too much and sometimes they told us way too little.
Yeah.
There were lots of times that I'm like, was there a briefing? There's a lot of familial relationships that I'm sure if you read the comic books you'd know, but I had no idea because they kept making so-and-so his family, and I was like, what? Hmm? And weird relationships there, but they broke up their boring bits because everything was such a hodgepodge that the boring bits were broken up, as opposed to Thor, which basically the middle,
yeah, the
was
whole
boring
middle part, yeah.
So that helped. I didn't get as bored because I'd get bored. But, oh, then look, flashy green things, and pretty colors and stuff like that. But yeah. And I still want to look up the details on Sinestro.
To find out what's really going on with that guy?
No, because I know that guy.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you ever see Super Friends? Sinestro.
Yeah.
Okay, little bit of a spoiler alert, people, but it spoils the first 5 minutes of the movie. In this movie, Sinestro is a Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. In fact, the main Green Lantern.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Now, Green Lantern stuff has been retconned a billion times, so maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
either.
I found that odd, and consequently later, I found what happened fairly predictable.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, yeah, it's kind of a mess. Do not worry about seeing it in the theater. I file it under what's becoming a fairly broad category of go ahead and see it as long as you don't have to pay any money.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, I mean, I don't want that 2 hours back. It was fine. It was entertaining. I may even, not in the theater, see the second one. Because they're going to make a second one, apparently.
Yeah.
Despite the poor showings, they're going to do it. So, yeah. I don't know if I'll bother with Thor 2. They're going to make Thor 2 in 2013.
Really?
And Kenneth Branagh's not directing, though. But that's not even the important thing. The important thing is I started my new job!
I forgot to ask you how that went. Although you did tell me in somewhere, email or something, that it was exhausting, but it was good. Somewhere.
That was my Facebook thing, yeah. I am so tired. This job involves a lot of things that I'm not used to doing, especially since I've been unemployed. Things like standing, walking. Mostly that's it, standing and walking.
Oh, okay.
I do a fair bit of standing and walking in this job.
I see.
To sort of a normal person level, which is way beyond what I'm used to. So, like, the first day I came home and I was so sore and I was so tired, I took painkillers and went to bed before 9 p.m.
Wow.
And slept like a rock. But I think I like the job. I think I'm enjoying it. I think so far I'm enjoying it pretty well. And each day I'm a little less tired and sore when I get home. I think this will probably be good for my overall health and physical fitness. But Twiglet, what are you doing? Is he just trying to sort of find a comfortable
kind of
spot
and not being very successful?
Why did you pick behind the computer? I guess it might be warm back there.
Maybe.
Weird. My cats are weird. Anyway, yeah, so I think it's going to be good. It's worked out so far. I like the people okay. My third day in today, I'm already being involved in interview process for somebody else.
Really?
Yes, because I'm on the clerical staff and there's other positions opening, and so all the it's one of those where like you interview with six people for 15 minutes, then another six people, and then the actual person who decides. And so, you know, we give our recommendations, but I'm one of the six people because I'm on clerical staff. Yeah, so I'm screwing around today. I was like, "Hi, I'm Tony." I said, "I'm pretty big here in the organization. I've been here a while, so you really need to impress me." So, yeah, that's cool though. Okay. 25 minutes and change. We should pull out El Hat. Sorry, El Sombrero. What was it? I gotta look it up. El Sombrero Magico Hablar. Dos mujeres, un camino.
Estoy pooping!
I knew you were going to say that. You knew it. You were like, don't say estoy pooping, but you knew
I was going to.
Extra points for those listeners who can figure out what the hell that's in reference to. Okay, what'd you get?
Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl. I believe Cheryl has had a question before.
I don't remember that.
I don't know for sure. If not, congratulations, Cheryl.
Thank you for writing in, Cheryl. Yeah. Dear TMTH... So play.
Teenage Mutant... Shit.
Yeah. How does one get mental health care in the U.S.? The best bet seems to be prison, but what crime?
Huh. Yes. Something crazy.
Well, that you would think that would be good, because...
Yeah, ideally. I mean, if you can just get declared insane, then you go...
Then you might not go to prison. You might go somewhere else.
To the cuckoo's nest, yes. Yeah. I don't know. It's a hard one. My new employer actually provides some mental health benefit in their benefits, which is kind of cool. But you only tend to get that with the really good benefits packages.
Yeah, I mean, anyone can get mental health care in the U.S. It's the key is paying for it.
Yes, healthcare insurance.
Yeah, which I think is what Cheryl's getting at. Employers, I'm sure that you can buy some private insurance. But I think you're right, Cheryl. I think if you look at things sort of statistically and objectively, prison is a really good way to get some mental health care. But I suppose the crime depends on what kind of mental health care you want. I mean, if you want drug rehab, well, it's pretty easy to get some kind of a drug charge.
Here's the thing.
Anger management, you should probably commit an assault.
Do we have to be that focused? I mean, ideally, if you can come up with something really nuts and end up in an asylum or whatever, then you're all set.
Oh, well.
But
yeah.
Outside of that, could you just go to prison for generic crime 104? Which, by the way, extra points if you can identify which crime specifically is generic crime 104. And once you're there, go, oh, I'm crazy. Oh, my God. I'm so depressed. You have to get me to see the therapist. Will they just, like, take you?
That's a good point, too.
Because if they will, I say have some fun with the crime. I mean, come up with whatever the hell you feel
well,
like.
Well, that's true, too.
But as long as it doesn't. You want something that will give you a good, healthy prison sentence, but not lethal injection.
Right. What, 5 years maybe?
Yeah. So.
Maybe 5 years with the possibility of getting out early somehow.
Yeah. So that if Could you do some low-grade kidnapping?
Well, it depends. Yeah, maybe. But see, then you start maybe bleeding into federal offenses. And you
probably
don't
want that. Steal a car?
Yeah.
That might be a good... It's a good, solid felony, but it's likely... It's not likely to turn nasty on you, and...
Well, and you
it looks okay for... I mean, it looks better for parole.
You really need to check your state laws on that, too.
Yes. Do your homework, or you could end up on the wrong side of this particular prison
sentence.
You could end up with freaking parole. That's useless.
Or just six, you know, maybe a year in county.
Yeah, that's not going to work. They don't have good counselors county.
You got to go.
Or again, capital punishment.
Yeah, we don't want that either.
Oops. Yeah, not so good.
You definitely want a light prison sentence. But it's got to be prison.
And it, well, and enough time to make a breakthrough. I mean, you don't want a couple of sessions.
No, no. You probably a good 5 years, maybe 10.
Yeah, yeah. You want some time so your therapist can get to know you. You can get to know.
So, but you really have to review your state's laws on that. And I'd say in the state of Iowa, probably auto theft would be good because that would be
good if you can avoid violent crime.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, theft is good, and just make it big enough.
Yeah, it's got to be big enough. A car is usually grand theft in most states. And so, yeah, that would work. And that would get you in the door. And then, like you said, once you're in there, you know, you can start saying, well, I've got this problem, that problem.
Yeah.
And they'll just treat you.
And once you're in there, if it's not enough time, if you still have things to work with, and let's be honest, it's prison, you may develop new issues.
Sure, sure.
It's way easy to get your sentence extended when you're in there.
Absolutely.
You know, shank a guard.
Yeah, right,
You know.
Yeah, or just in general.
Flaming toilet paper rolls.
Yeah.
You know, stuff.
In general, not being cooperative in prison.
Contraband.
We'll get you some. Yeah, have people smuggle things in for you. That's an excellent way. But, you know, if you were talking before, though, about what if you wanted to sort of skip the whole prison thing and go right into an institution.
I think that's hard.
It is hard, but there are ways to do it.
Okay.
And I think probably the easiest way, and the way that almost always works, just about anywhere in the United States, is public nudity. And I don't just mean exposing yourself like to a child or something. Walking around downtown without any clothes on, acting as if you don't realize you don't have any clothes on. Because that really freaks people out. It'll put you into the local county jail for a little while, but if you can keep it up, you know.
Oh, repeated.
Well, you might have to do it more than once.
Oh, but you mean keep up the belief that you have clothes on.
That's right. You will see a judge, and you know, if you play that right, they will institutionalize you, and you could be in there for as long as you want to be. For free, probably even.
I gotta be honest. That suggestion, while I do consider it to be good advice, is oddly and sort of unwholesomely specific.
Because...
Is there a story you want to share with us, William?
I happen to know a person who had this very problem, and this is what happened to them.
Actually had this problem, didn't fake it to get mental health.
No, they actually had this problem where they...
How does that work? Where they thought they were wearing clothes?
Well, not specifically you thought they were wearing clothes. More of a couldn't seem to understand why everyone had a problem with them not wearing clothes.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I don't know if it's...
So they knew they were naked, but they were like, that's not indecent.
If you were to ask them, are you wearing clothes? They would have said, no, I'm not wearing clothes. But if you would have asked them, you know, is that person wearing clothes? They might say, well, no, that person's not wearing clothes either. Or they didn't seem to know what clothes were, that kind of thing.
Whoa.
I mean, they were completely dissociative about all of this. And yeah, they broke the law, you know, public indecency or whatever it was, but they didn't go to jail. They went and they were treated.
The one thing I worry about with this is I'm pretty sure in most cases it puts you on a sex offender registry.
Really? Just if you're...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Indecent exposure.
I know, but don't you have to be, like, guilty or something?
If it's indecent exposure by right of crazy sauce, not then.
Because you haven't been convicted of it. You go to court, they see, oh, this person's mentally ill.
Yes.
And then they... So then that doesn't count, does it?
I don't know. We need field tests. Looking for listeners to volunteer.
No. Don't go telling people to break the law. We don't need that kind of trouble.
Wait, this whole thing has been... we told them to steal a car.
Well, oh yeah, we did, didn't we?
We totally did. I was going to do a disclaimer at the end. Don't worry. But actually, the surefire method, all the time, always works, convincing people you're crazy. Put your underwear on your head, stick pencils up your nose.
Now, see,
and extra points for the listeners who know where that came from.
The reason that I'm telling this story is not just because it actually happened, but because when I thought about it, I realized that there are very few things you can do out in public that will get you a straight trip to the loony bin. I mean, very few things.
I still think this is area specific. I can think of towns where this would be less of an issue.
Really?
I believe so.
Well, that's hard to imagine. I mean, you know, if you go around saying you're Napoleon, I mean, nobody's going to care, really.
No.
I mean, as long as you're not hurting anyone.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do that's not violent, because we've already specified it shouldn't be a violent crime, but that will freak people out enough that they'll put you away is public nudity that doesn't appear to be you're doing it, you know, to be lewd. You just don't realize what you're doing. That freaks people out.
Kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, it freaks me out for sure. Okay, I'd say someone put a blanket over that guy and take him to the loony bin.
So, excellent question, Cheryl. Thank you very much. The Magical Talking Hat and its subsidiary companies does not in any way support or endorse any illegal actions. Please consult your local state laws before attempting anything, as illegal actions are bad. Okay?
Okay.
Good question, though, Cheryl. Gracious. We like that. That was good.
I hope,
good work.
I hope we don't get subpoenaed. This person wanted mental health care, so they went and broke the law.
Now, Cheryl's going to play in an RPG of mine soon, so she better not go to prison. Okay. Oh, you know what? It's been long enough. I'm not even sad about this. It's Azure Talon.
Azure Talon, okay.
It's old Blue Claw. And it's Grandma. From the Choctaw Indians. Speaking of which, Blue Claw's mommy, Red Tooth, I assume.
Red Tooth.
It gave him a cookie recipe that is very similar to that cake mix one I was talking about. And it has been put up on the show notes for episode 16, because this is 17, right?
Yes, this is 17.
Okay. Yeah. So yes, up on 16, there has been an update with that recipe, so you should go check it out, make cookies, send them to me.
I understand the recipe.
And I will eat them.
I understand the recipe works for any cake mix. Now, you have a specific cake mix in there, but it'll work for any cake mix?
The one I knew of would work for any.
You don't think this
Based on this recipe, I don't see why not.
Okay, I see.
We need listeners to experiment and send them to me, and I will find out. Don't send them to William. He hates food. Dear MTH, Magical Talking Hat, did they let you watch Black Dynamite? If so, did you like it?
Hat doesn't talk.
You may have heard this once or twice before. They, I assume is us, you and I, Tony and William.
There's a car here.
Is it your car?
Yeah. Why don't I let you answer this question while I go talk to the people in my car?
Oh, my God. Okay.
What time is it?
It's 8:09.
Oh, my goodness. I'll be right back.
Okay, you go do that.
But see, you saw it. I didn't see Black Dynamite. So.
That's what I was going to say. They didn't even see it. Only I saw it. William's leaving. Bye, William! Okay, while he's gone, you guys have to get me out of here. I don't know who this guy is, but he showed up approximately 17 weeks ago and has been keeping me in his basement, forcing me to do a podcast. And he only lets me out for that, and then he ties me back up and feeds me gerbil food. I'm not meaning like a lot of vegetables. I mean actual gerbil food. I've seen the bag. It's gerbil food. It's terrible conditions, and you have to help me. I don't know where we are for sure. I believe we are somewhere in northwest Pennsylvania. So... find me, please, and save me from this guy. So the hat didn't see the movie. Hat also doesn't have eyes. And so, yeah.
If the hat did see it or was in the room when it was happening,
couldn't tell. It doesn't talk. So, that's that. Okay.
Good job. I didn't even hear any of that. I'll have to listen to it myself before I'll know what you
said.
No,
you don't have to listen to that, really. That's fine.
You say Azure Talon's mother is Red Tooth?
Red Tooth.
Or Crimson Fang?
Oh, yes! That's what... if she had gone to art school...
she'd yes. be called Crimson Fang.
Exactly.
You can let me draw the next one? No?
Oh, it's your turn, isn't it? Yes. I can't keep track. I'm so tired.
Aw. Because of your job.
Because of my work and stuff.
Kia.
B. Oh, Kia. No, oh, Kia B. Okay, not to be confused with...
Not that other Kia.
Bunches of people not named Kia. Okay, Kia B.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
I know William's answer. I don't know my answer.
You know my answer?
Of course I know your answer. I'm betting most of the listeners know your answer.
Oh.
What is your answer, William?
Star Wars.
Of course. And you know why? Because you are a whiny Luke Skywalker and always have been. I swear to God, a day does not go by with him not bitching about the blast shield being down.
Or wanting
and
to go
how
to,
he's going to see the drone.
Or wanting to go to Tashi Station.
Tashi Station, pick up the power converters.
She doesn't ask why, she just says Star Wars or Star Trek.
You know that's in World of Warcraft. There's a place, it's actually called Toshi Station or something. It's spelled slightly different. And one of the quests there involves getting power converters.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Star Wars or Star Trek? Which goes better in a light caramelized onion glaze? No. I... See, to me, they're so ridiculously different. And in particular, if you look at their strengths and weaknesses, it's almost opposites, exactly. It's almost like... all the good stuff about Star Trek is the shitty stuff about Star Wars.
Which is why people ask this question.
Yeah. So it's really hard. I mean, I don't want to live in a world without either one of them. And I don't want to own either of them. So take it there. If I had to pick... I think Star Wars is better sci-fi. Star Trek might be better... might be better storytelling, honestly.
You think Star Wars is better sci-fi?
I do.
Huh. Because I think Star Trek is better sci-fi. I don't know. Star Wars is barely science fiction.
From a speculative fiction standpoint? Yeah, thinking in those terms. I mean, yeah, you're probably right. Because, I mean, yeah, Star Trek is much better at being speculative. Star Wars essentially just could be called fantasy.
Right, and it's kind of actually surprising that I don't like Star Trek more because I'm really into speculative fiction, and I find Star Trek to be good speculative fiction more or less. Star Wars isn't speculative fiction at all, as far as I can tell. So
I think you like Star Wars because you grew up with it.
I grew up with both of them.
Yeah, but I think you've been more attached to that. Because honestly, on paper, I think you should like Star Trek more.
I think the reason I like Star Wars more is because even more than I like speculative fiction, when I read fiction.
He likes lightsabers.
I like mythic types of stories, probably even more so. And Star Wars has that mythic
angle. It's just so generically mythic.
Which is what I like about it, actually. I like that about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Star Wars represents... when I was a... before I realized really how generically mythic Star Wars was... I sort of dreamed of making that kind of thing myself. And then as I got older, I realized, oh, George Lucas already did this. Although now I don't think George Lucas did it very well.
Yeah.
Star
Wars is one of the few things that makes Star Trek's dialogue look amazing.
I do like Star Trek. I do have to admit Star Wars is more appealing to me for the reasons I just said, I think. That's all I can say about that.
As I get older, I'm just less interested in the world of Star Trek. I always thought It was awesome because we didn't have any poverty and we didn't have really crime. And it was, and now I realize the Star Trek world is boring. Oh my God. Which I think they did too, which is why they did DS9 and all that shit. But Star Wars is a little bit boring in that way too, in some cases. The expanded universe helps a lot. Like I like the world of Star Wars. I'm way less into the story of Darth Vader. I've mentioned this before, like Harry Potter. The world of Harry Potter, to me, is cool. The right. story of Harry Potter, not so much.
Gotcha.
I might pick... Nah. See, and I mean, I saw him as a kid, but and I had the toys and stuff, but I really feel like a lot... Star Trek was much more formative on me. Star Trek made me much more the person I am today. Therefore, I have to pick Star Wars. Okay, I got it now. It took me a minute. I'm there.
Okay,
good question, Kia.
Two votes for Star
Kia,
Wars.
Which Kia was it?
B.
Kia B. Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Let's not get her confused with the other Kia.
Yes.
Other Kias.
Or with Sir Guido.
We're doing good. This is number 4.
Yes. Number 3 is peeing, and number 2 is pooping, then what's number 4? Number 4 is... Oh! Number 4 is, first off, an anonymous question, and also, that's been starting this new thing...
Oh, with the little asterisk.
Asterisk to imply this was, in fact, a digested and edited question... Because it was too fucking long, people. We're not throwing it out. We just cleaned it up. And it's anonymous. I have no idea who this was from. I totally know who this is from. Dear the Magical Talking Hat. Sort of a relationship question here.
Okay.
Who should clean? The person who creates the mess, or the person who is bothered by the mess?
Well, obviously, it's often the latter, because the person who... Sometimes the person who made the mess, if they haven't already cleaned it up, obviously they don't mind. So the person who's bothered is usually going to step in and do it. But, you know, I suppose the most basic rules of fairness would dictate that if you've made the mess, you should clean it up. But obviously, again, if a mess is still there after someone's made it, it obviously doesn't bother them, so...
And there's complications, because what if you made the mess doing something that helps both of you or the other person?
Sure.
I had an aunt who's been divorced twice now.
So keep that
in
mind.
I think this was a trick with her first husband, maybe her second, I don't know, that... It's whoever's bothered by it. So, like, there was no rotation of chores. Whoever thought the toilet finally got gross enough that they couldn't stand it anymore, cleaned the toilet. And in principle, in this sort of, you know, neo-communist utopia sort of thing, I could see that. It doesn't work. I've tried it. It really doesn't work.
No.
Because inevitably, one person is more bothered than the other... And does it repeatedly, and after a while says, why the fuck am I doing this every time?
Right.
I'm much more in favor of a designation of a division of labor, a formal division of labor. Trish and I have done that to a certain degree. There are certain things that are my job, certain things that are her job, through various methods these have come up. And then there are other things that tend to rotate.
Yeah.
On a cycle we have that's tied to our budget a bit. Who does the grocery shopping? Who cooks? You know, stuff like that. Rotates over time. But and then other things are assigned. I very much believe in that. And it's good to do it in location. Do it by territory rather than by piece. So you're in charge of keeping the living room clean. Mm-hmm. So if a mess gets made there... Basically, you got to clean it up regardless of whose it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there can be exceptions of, like, you know, gross abuse of this principle. but in general, that's the thing. And likewise, I'm in charge of the kitchen, let's say. So if you make a mess in the kitchen, I still have to clean it up. But again, gross abuse of this, you might say, hey, Don't be a dick. Which is ultimately the rule when it comes to cleaning and making messes. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, there's surely
some... The more you know... Oh, sorry.
Surely there's some common sense involved where, like you said, it's probably in a household, if that's what we're talking about, it's probably best to divide up things in a way that's not ambiguous so someone knows it's their job. But it's pretty common sense that if you spill something on the table that's not, it's not going to be... The person who's in charge of the living room, they're not just going to be able to dust the table. They're going to have to clean up your sticky mess. Well, clean it up. You know, that's common courtesy. Just because it's not your area doesn't mean you should go in there to make your mess because someone else is going to have to clean up after you.
Yes.
But you're right. The general rule of, well, let's, whoever gets bug bite and clean it up, you're right. It almost always falls on one person who is just a little more persnickety than other people, and then they have to do all the work, and that's not really fair.
Yeah, it just doesn't ever work out. And then you get divorced.
Twice, apparently. Twice.
Really didn't work out. Now she cleans her own toilet all the time.
But I am a big supporter of the whole, clean up your own mess thing. But of course, some things, they don't become a mess once. It's like over time they get dusty or they get dirty. And so a person who is not the only person responsible for the dust or the dirt or grime or whatever needs to go in and do something about it.
Like New Jersey. Cheap shot, I know. I've never been there, so don't whack me.
Poor New Jersey. I thought maybe you were going to say Detroit.
New Jersey. No, I like the old school ones. Okay. And actually, I'm genuinely scared of people from Detroit. I'm not scared of people from New Jersey so much. Okay.
Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, whose turn is it?
Me.
Okay.
You drew the asterisks.
So did they leave, or are they just waiting?
No, they're waiting.
Read faster, damn it.
Blood Sparrow!
Blood Sparrow sent us quite a bit lately. We had quite an infusion of Blood Sparrow lately. Ah! Get it?
Yes.
No extra points for that one.
If you had to choose between a blue cooler or a red cooler, which would you choose? Blue. I choose blue.
I'm thinking.
What? You don't know just right off the top of your head? That seems to be a right off the top of your head kind of choice.
No, there are many ramifications involved.
There are?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was just...
No.
A knee-jerk reaction like I just gave.
No. It says a lot about you, the color of your cooler.
It does?
Yes. For instance, based on your choice...
Yeah.
I assume you're gay... Single, have commitment issues, and at least one of your major limbs is fake.
Wow.
Yes.
None of which are actually true.
So maybe you picked the wrong cooler.
Or maybe your system of guessing is way off. Blue cooler. Blue cooler is blue cooler. See how it rolls off the tongue? Blue, cool. Blue is cool. Red, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like what a cooler should be. Cooler should be blue.
I think I'm going to go with blue also. Not because you picked it, despite the fact that you picked it, but for a different reasoning. Kind of the opposite in some way. I want to be a dork. No, that's not it. No, what I mean is I feel that I see a lot of red coolers.
Oh, I see.
And I tend to like to go for what's different, what's more unique. That being said, I've seen a lot of blue coolers, too. I would really love if I could avoid both of those and get some other color.
That would be nice, actually.
You know, except green. There's lots of green ones, too. Yellow, a good mustard yellow. Not a color I normally go for, but in a cooler, it would be nice because others would not be that color.
That's a good point.
But having to pick between those two... Probably blue. To be fair, I am single, gay, I have commitment issues, and my right leg is fake. The amazing thing, people, he didn't look at my right leg. I can see it took an effort of will, but he didn't glance down at my
effort
right leg.
Effort of will. Oh, that's
great. Oh, yeah. That was totally on purpose. Yes.
Well, we'd like to thank Blood Sparrow, Asterix. Oh, sorry, Anonymous.
Asterix. Obelisk.
Kia B. Blue Claw and Cheryl for the wonderful questions this week.
Way to go, people.
Now what happens?
I'm trying to give them something else for extra points.
Do you plug things now?
I don't know that I have much to plug. I'm going to post the Swamp Ass PSA.
Okay, good, because that might be a real problem for people.
Yeah, it's an awesome thing, too. I don't know that I have anything to plug. We may soon be having another one of those kind of filler episodes, because I may be gone again, so we may have to do a couple back-to-back. In your world, you won't notice a difference, so... That's mostly it, I think. And William's chomping at the bit because he has people out in the car.
People waiting on me. That never happens, but it's happening. It's happening now. Sorry.
Sorry, everyone. Should probably wrap this up. I am Tony.
And I am William.
And please disregard the last 56 minutes or so. Yeah, and we'll see you next week.
Next week.
You want to drink some Stump Killer before you leave?
No.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Ant Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.